The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 596. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Its number is...
Was it 556? What?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brett Murdoch.
One time I want to swap out our intro for like a classic news intro, like the
and we have that typing noise always in the background.
Yeah,
you know, I just realized, no, you know, because we were talking about the end of Throwdown, we will definitely be doing a past episode 666. You know, we got to do that fucking episode, you know, and if things go correctly, that episode should air January 2028. That's interesting. Oh. The same year that this goes away on PlayStation.
Oh my God! It's the hellish times. Son of
the devil. Yeah, because usually the 66 episode comes in like the beginning of the year in January. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be the evil episode of Throwdown. You know, of both of them.
We'll have to have one of us do the thing. You know, let him who have understanding reckon the number of...
Maybe I'll put some fucking red lighting around me and shit, you know?
Yeah.
or lighting under me, it, you know? Oh, man. Too bad it's going to, you know, it's in January, not in fucking October, you know? But it is what it is.
I'm going to grow out my goatee and I'll praise Sony.
Hey, there you go. That's evil, Brett. All right, guys. We have returned for another show. An interesting week. I wouldn't say anything megatonish happened, but a couple of interesting things happened. We'll kick off with the weirdest one. So we've been asking for months, where the fuck is the new GTA trailer, right? You're going to get an extended look, and you're first going to see it on Netflix, people.
That makes sense.
Yeah, bro. When I saw this story this morning, I'm like, did I not have enough coffee this morning? Did I read this right? Like, Netflix is premiering a GTA trailer? But yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Fucking crazy. So basically, they're going to premiere it at 3:00 in the afternoon on August 27th. And then at 9:00 that night, it's going to be on YouTube for the world. So this is what I imagine happened. It's a Tony headcanon. Netflix rolled up to Rockstar's offices in New York with a big fucking truck full of money. Hey, can we get a 6-hour exclusive, please? Because let's just be honest, it wasn't the other way around. It wasn't Rockstar going to Netflix. They don't need fucking Netflix. Netflix came to them, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, and obviously, you know, we'll get into it, but a lot of people online were very upset about this, very angry about this.
Okay, before we get started, I gotta ask.
Go ahead, bro.
Is this going to have gameplay or is it just going to be cinematic? Because if it's just cinematic, the jokes write themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. It just said extended look. That's all it says. Extended look. So who the fuck knows what this is? You know, maybe
I'm just worried.
Are they going to have GTA on the Netflix gaming bullshit?
I have no idea.
I mean, it wouldn't make any sense for them to just do this reveal on there and then not have it be a part of their stupid gaming bullshit.
There's a non-zero chance that Netflix is going to get an increase of subscriptions just for people who want to watch this trailer.
I think that's the play here.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is that.
That's the play here, you know? And some people are going to do it. I've already seen people doing it, which is insane, you know?
That's crazy. So you just throw away a month. Like, even if you cancel it right after the trailer,
yeah,
you still have to pay. And you probably have to pay a cancellation. Good luck.
Yeah, and then
Netflix ain't cheap these days.
What happened?
Netflix ain't cheap these days. It's like $25 now.
So you're basically going to pay $25 to watch a fucking trailer 6 hours early. That's what it is. You could just wait. Or wait like fucking... okay, let's just say, for example, the trailer is 30 minutes long. Wait 30 minutes, somebody's going to upload that shit on Twitter.
Hey, don't forget to cut the balls. They like that.
So It's crazy, man. And then my thing is like, is this going to set a precedent? You know, it might.
Hasn't it already?
Well, we haven't seen anything like this before. You know, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I guess the precedent is the rules no longer apply. Maybe it'll set new ones that do apply, but this is already bad enough for me.
Yeah.
Well, I get what Tony's saying, because you'll have Disney and Paramount and, you know, Warner Brothers, you know, and whoever else, like, you know, Universal with Peacock, trying to go to like Capcom and Konami and whatever, and be like, give us 6-hour, 12-hour exclusive on your trailer, whatever, and we'll put it front and center on our streaming service, right? That's what you mean. And that's crazy. Like, so it's like, look, it's a new whatever Castlevania trailer exclusive on Paramount Plus for 12 hours, right? That's insane.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to happen.
Here's why. I think that most of the time, if not all of the time, a game cannot command safely the kind of hype that GTA has garnered. And I think GTA itself, honestly, not immune to that. I think there's people at Rockstar who know that there is no way that the game that they have made can live up to the kind of hype. There's only one game that has generated this kind of hype and actually managed to live up to it. And I didn't believe that game was going to fucking do it either. And that shit was Elden Ring. Do I think that Rockstar is going to be able to pull this off? No. Like, they will make a lot of money. People will still like GTA. But will it totally live up to the hype train it has generated? No. And I think everybody, including Rockstar, knows that. And they're capitalizing on that. And inevitably, the market will see, like, oh, yeah, people really aren't going to want to pay for a commercial 95% of the time. It's only when their, you know, expectations are hopelessly inflated and they're taking, you know, near lethal amounts of copium that we can actually get away with this shit. So every once in a while, maybe. But I kind of see this as a bit of a weird synergy, because I honestly can't tell you who this benefits. Like, yeah, it benefits Netflix, but it also benefits Rockstar in the sense, like, and hear me out. A lot of people are so weirdly disconnected from advertising due to segmented or fractured streaming services, or just kind of living under a rock, or just not dealing with commercials to begin with. I can't tell you the amount of people, myself included, most of the time, they're like, oh, I didn't realize that movie was out. I didn't know that game was out. So they may have just looked at the numbers and went, you know, Netflix has a pretty high subscription base. We could probably get in there and do an advertisement that doesn't look like an advertisement because we're GTA, but I don't think that's going to fly for everybody. And that's if it works. If this whole thing doesn't burst, like I've said before, like, I think that there will be lots of people who will justify their purchase. They will do mental gymnastics to do so. And so that to those people, there's no way that this game doesn't stack up. But to the rest of the people, I don't think this game is going to be the big cultural phenomenon that other GTAs have even been. I think this is going to be one of those, like, you hear people kind of quietly disappointed. They'll be like, ah, oh, no, it's this game's it's great. It's kind of it's everything I wanted. I just, you know, I'm not playing it right now because I'm busy and other reasons. And that'll be pretty much the what you hear. Like, I don't know how to put it into terms of, like, I don't think GTA 6 is going to fail. I don't think that people are going to bemoan it for, you know, not hitting the mark. I think they'll be like, oh, yeah, that was great. And then it won't have the staying power. It'll kind of fade away more with a whimper than a bang. And it'll kind of resurge a little bit for when GTA comes out with their new online and they announce, you know, a $15 a month Rockstar Club premium blah, blah, blah bullshit thing. And it'll make some money. 15-year-olds will flock to it because it'll probably continue extending the GTA online that's already there. And there will be. But, like, in a year, I don't think it's going to be a year after GTA 6 releases. It's not going to be like a year after GTA 5 released.
Yeah. Welcome to Richard Bailey Jr. Rich, what are your thoughts on GTA 6, you know, extended look premiering on Netflix? What are your thoughts on that?
I heard you just got a subscription.
Did you subscribe to Netflix just to see that trailer early for 6 hours?
Well, first and foremost, hell no. And I would tell a lot of people, do not subscribe just for that trailer. I was already subscribed from watching a few other things. But when I saw this announcement, I thought this was hilarious, because I saw the reaction that people had immediately when they saw this. And I think they missed the part where it said 6 hours later, it will be on YouTube. It'll be on Rockstar's YouTube, all this other stuff. But I think it's ridiculous because again, we said before, where's the gameplay footage? And that was the main thing because I know there were a lot of pre-orders for the game, but they ain't really showed no gameplay whatsoever. So then I see that they're deciding to do this. I said, okay, they obviously spent a lot of money to get this on Netflix for this little timed window to really talk about the behind the scenes. But very interesting strategy. I have not seen a game marketed like this before it drops. So very interesting.
Yeah, I know it's definitely a first. And then the other thing I'm wondering about, because I haven't heard any clarification on this yet, are people going to be able to live stream this, the reactions to this, right? Because, like, they may not be able to. We don't know. And like, do you want to be the one to try a Rockstar's hand at this shit, right? It's interesting, man. Have you heard anything, Richard, on that end?
That is a phenomenal question, Tony. I haven't heard anything. I just know Rockstar sent us the official email earlier talking about this event, and there were no other details, nothing. Just say, yes, we're going to have this thing on Netflix, and that was it. So that, I guess we're going to have to wait to see. I think, I'm pretty sure they know people are going to try and make content out of this as soon as it's announced. They're not going to wait until the 6 hours later when the video is also posted everywhere else. So I do want to see how that's handled and whether or not people are going to get strikes or any type of copyright stuff from doing this. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Barry Burns says, go ahead. Actually, let me read this real quick, Carlos. Let me go. Imagine subscribing to a premium streaming service to watch a commercial. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to imagine, brother.
Yeah. I mean, and like Brett mentioned, it's probably not going to happen anytime soon after this, because it takes an extraordinarily hyped game to do something like this. Netflix just won't throw money at any game. It's like they're not going to throw money at Assassin's Creed or
that's right.
Any other of those type of games. Maybe like
everyone else.
So yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. The whole thing with Netflix is interesting, though, because I do see Netflix doing something else. Mm. And this is my tinfoil hat. Not even a tinfoil hat. It's sort of like I can see this happening in the future.
Okay.
Maybe not this year, but maybe next year.
Tinfoil headband?
Tinfoil headband. Yep.
I think that's what we're doing. Pass me that tinfoil. I think I'm there with you.
Yeah, or tinfoil. What's the name of those hats without the top? Like visor and shit, like is it that instead?
Oh yeah, tinfoil visor, yeah. It's missing a little bit, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the Jeff Keighley shows gets streamed on Netflix.
Excuse me? Oh
like,
shit.
Like Game Awards or something like that. Like they'll do it on Netflix. Like that's something I can see.
Oh man, I think that's gonna happen.
Let me add to that. I think I could see this all kind of being rolled into a Netflix push for, you know, a Netflix gaming corner or whatever gay ass thing that they want to call it. Because we stream games and we have gaming news and videos, so you don't have to go to YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Right. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, I think that it's funny what Brett said, because I know that Netflix, they already were trying to get into the gaming space, because when I went to Summer Game Fest 2 years ago, they actually was at the show. They showed off the Oxenfree 2 game, and then they proceeded to lay off some of that team later after the game came out, the same type of practice. So obviously they have the stuff with the mobile and the tablet, and they're releasing all these different games for kids and stuff like that. So I think it is rather interesting where they decided, well, no, let's just do this deal with Rockstar to show this, because we must admit that we have not been doing a good job with our gaming side. So, yeah, there definitely is going to be some more things, I think, that come after this. But I just think it's pretty funny how it came together.
Yeah, that's why this was said before you came in. I was like, they have to have it on there. It doesn't make any sense that to me, like that only they're just going to be revealing just a trailer. They do have a silly gaming service on there.
Gotta have something.
Do they have, this shows my ignorance of Netflix gaming. Do they even have any AAA games?
They had the original Grand Theft Auto games on there and a bunch of other ones, like a random smattering of game titles that they had on there, including their ones from their own IP, like Stranger Things and that.
Yeah, because I don't think this. Yeah, we don't know that.
I don't know the state of it because I haven't looked. I've never looked at it. I only saw it once when I still had a subscription. I'm like, they had like, it was like, you know, Netflix gaming, and it showed a bunch of titles, but I never clicked on any. So I was like, why would I want that?
Yeah, you know, I hear you.
Mobile games.
Yeah, like I've never heard of them having a big AAA game at launch, you know? And I would think if GTA 6 was available on Netflix at launch, we would have heard about that a long time ago. They'd be shooting that shit off the rafters, you know? Yeah. So I legit think I'm, you know, being cynical, but probably being correct. I think it's just a play to get more subscribers. I think that's what it is. You know, and I know stupid people are going to do it, you know, because what happens, you subscribe and then you fucking forget, you know, and then a year later, oh, shit, I forgot, you know, they made their money.
They have Red Dead Redemption on there and a bunch of other ones.
So but it's like old games, you know.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I think look at it this way. Like if Game Pass weren't a thing, I'm pretty sure we'd all be seeing a Netflix gaming subscription service that was a little bit stronger. I think their business model kind of had the wind pulled out of its sails by Game Pass, which not even saying that was a success. I'm just saying it exists, which means that Netflix has this kind of weird half-assed, like, and you got to think of it from like, don't think of this as a gamer. Think of this as an uncle investing in stocks, right? Like Netflix is doing pretty good. I hear they're getting into gaming. They're doing a Grand Theft Auto thing. Huh? Mm-hmm. How's that sound?
Yep, that's another play. You know, I really don't think it's about getting the game on a platform. It's to get these other ventures, dragging people's subscriptions, getting investors in. I think that's what this is all about, you know? They won't be doing this for just every other game. I think the only game that could command this is Grand Theft Auto. Like, I don't think you're going to see this for, like, Call of Duty or anything like that.
It definitely has, like, the, you know, it's one of those games that also, you know, transcends the norm into the normie dimension.
Yeah, it is the normie of normiest games, you know.
I'd say the last thing that was this big was Cyberpunk, to be really honest.
Yeah, that was pretty close, but even that's like, I don't know, the gap is still bigger. Yeah,
I think this is bigger, but I think like, just to put it into perspective of, because when was Cyberpunk released? Because like, it's been that long since we've had a game of this level of hype, and that's what, at least 5-6 years, more than that? I have no sense of time.
It's been 6 years. Yeah.
6 years. So like, yeah, if we get one game every 6 years that hits this, that's still super rare.
Yeah.
Just push it in perspective.
I agree.
Just out of curiosity, what would you consider that type of game? Like 30 million copy sellers, or?
I know where you're going with this, because I can tell you what the third best selling game of all time is. And that's Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep. So that's
available on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'd say 30 hits the mark pretty well. I would say, like, in terms of investors, like 30 is their target mark. I mean, they want to hit more, obviously they do, but 30 is like, there's a certain type of game that's not successful until it hits an absurd number of copies. And that's I think one of them.
Yeah, how many copies How many copies did Cyberpunk sell? I'm just doing some, like, the numbers I remember for the top three games. Minecraft is a best-selling game. It's like 330 million. GTA 5 is like 280-ish million. And then Red Dead is like 85 million, you know? So there's even a gap, a big gap there, you know?
Yeah, and Cyberpunk, it was like 40 million.
Yeah, which is really fucking impressive, you know?
I mean, so just to use that criteria, the closest thing to that type of game is Wukong.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's right.
Because it was huge in China.
Yeah, that was a 30 million game.
To put that in perspective and steer it towards a point, I have absolutely no bias to bring it up. Power World hit, 32 million? Just spawned itself an MMO and a trading card game that's already beat the pants off Pokemon trading card game in stores, which is fucking hilarious. But like, that's the perspective of, like, 30 million gives you the kind of IP brand power that lets you pull that kind of shit, which, I don't know, puts things into perspective more than just like, oh, many video games sold. Like, no, that's how you build an IP. That's how you build a fan base. That 30 million is a fucking lot. That's an empire.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to say about GTA first look on Netflix? That's it. So, yeah, we'll see it August 27th. We'll let you know what we think. Oh, man.
I think they're going to show gameplay.
You don't think so?
No, I do.
Okay. Let me see what day that is.
More GTA.
Yo, Carlos, it's a Thursday, bro. What happened, Brett?
By the way.
Hold on real quick. Brett, what happened?
Do you think they're going to show, like, some sort of Netflix GTA content, either, like, more game of the old games to stream, or like, oh, now we're doing some Twitch shit, or even like, oh, we're gonna do a Grand Theft Auto crime miniseries. Please, no.
Ooh, you might be onto something there. You might be onto something. We're announcing the new Grand Theft Auto TV show.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
not a bad theory.
Yeah. What's up, Rich? What are you gonna say?
Oh, no, I was going to say, you said that's on a Thursday. That is also the exact same week of Gamescom.
Oh.
So there will be a lot to talk about, I would assume, on that show.
Yeah.
It's not for us because the trailer won't be out yet.
Yeah. Well, the trailer is going to premiere. That'll be 9 o'clock that night. I don't have Netflix. I'm not planning to fucking subscribe for that shit. But I'll watch that trailer that night, you know, right before the show. I took
Netflix completely on accident.
Man. All right, man. Let's move on here. No, we're not letting PlayStation go, people. So this is interesting. So earlier this week, someone found like a sign on a PlayStation box that with a warning that said after 2028. We're not going to be producing discs, right? Some people were like, oh, no, you know, this fakes AI. Then you go to PlayStation Direct's website. It says it right there. So if any of you guys who had any hope that Sony's going to reverse course, they said, fuck you and the couch. You came in our motherfucker, you know? This is crazy. Look at this. Look. Yeah.
You're like, yeah, we hear you.
Yeah. So check this out. Here's the exact, this is what it says on a PlayStation site and on that sticker, right? From January 2028, newly released games on PlayStation will be available for purchase on PlayStation store and retail in digital format only. Discs for games released before January 28th can continue to be played on this console, you know, for the system. So yeah, any hope you had is gone. It's over. Jover. You know, because there were some dudes still holding out hope, you know. Oh, no, but she said cautiously. She said we're approaching this cautiously. That gives me hope. That gives me hope. No. No, but it's done.
The people who are like holding out hope, they give it off the same vibes like Vegeta does the first couple of seasons of Dragon Ball Z when he's screaming about being a Super Saiyan. Like, okay, buddy, keep saying that.
Yeah.
It's I don't know, man. Like at a certain point, like, it just feels like you got your ass whooped in a parking lot and now they're pissing on you and you're laying on the ground going, wait till I get back up and gather my power. Like, it's over. It has never been more over.
Yeah. I don't know how many other ways PlayStation can tell you that it's done. Again, they had the statement, we're stopping disc production. No, there's still hope. No disc, no buy. Our campaign's going to work. Then a fucking investors call. Woman's like, no, we're not changing our fucking mind. Now you get a warning on the consoles that the shit is done. What more do you need?
The thing is, I don't, to be honest, like I understand that, like, you know, obviously people still believe that there's a chance. But to be honest, I also think that they should not let up either.
No, keep going.
They should still continue to go against it because that's what needs to be done. Again, the battle here is the consumer should be first, not the fucking investor. So yeah. if it means just totally not supporting whatever they're doing, and we're going to be getting onto another topic that's also somewhat in the same line, and we got a questioning too. You know, just I say hold the line. Don't give them anything. If you're going to buy anything, you know, that's first party, buy the physical versions. Show them what they should be.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett. Go ahead.
I agree with Mandy. I can't understand, like, and maybe I'm being a little bit too much of a delicate flower here, but when they came out and they're like, oh, no, we realize that people have emotions tied up to this. And, you know, they're going to have a lot of big feelings, but they're going to get over it. I'm like, I'm sorry. I feel like these motherfuckers came into my house and disrespected me. I do not care to do business with them, and it astounds me that anybody does.
Yeah. Rich, you were going to say something?
Oh, I was going to say I agree 100% with what Manny And Brett said, and now I have a question for you, Tony. And yeah. because you are a very good writer and covering all the news, I want you to tell us here live on Throwdown, what did the PlayStation Blackout supporters have to say about this? Because the 7-day ban, I would expect them to do a lot more than just a 7-day ban after this news, but I haven't heard nothing from these people. So I wanted to know, have you heard anything?
That's, you know, as you would say, Rich, that's a very interesting question. and basically, this is another blackout because I haven't heard shit. They haven't said anything, which is interesting. You know, I mean, you would figure they would say something. Again, you still have your usual suspects. No diss, no buy. By the way, go ahead, Manny.
The blackout's supposed to be happening like next week on the 14th or something.
No, I think it's a week after that. I could be wrong. Isn't it closer to Gamescom? Isn't it closer to Gamescom time? Yeah, yeah. Good luck with that, guys. You know? That shit ain't going to happen. Yeah.
And then, like, announce an end date. Like,
yeah, yeah. You're not the fucking end date. Yeah, yeah, smart. Very smart, guys. You know? And I'm going to say, again, I said this before, I'll say it again, man. Fucking Spider-Man, you know, is going to make $2 billion. You know there's motherfuckers in there, in that theater, tweeting out, fuck Sony. Yet you're there giving them your money. Why aren't you about that life, motherfucker? And let's just be honest. You guys remember back in the, you know, with Modern Warfare 2, all these dudes, oh, they don't have private servers. Fuck Modern Warfare 2. I'm not playing that shit. All those guys were there day one. What I want to see, all these no diss, no buy dudes, I want somebody to gather all their names. And then day one, when GTA 6 comes out, I want to see who's online playing that fucking game. Because you know they're going to be playing it too. I want to see if you guys are about that life, you know? Because ain't no diss there either, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, man. It's very easy to go on Twitter and talk all this shit, you know? Be about that life. It's very fucking easy to just talk shit. Fool with your fucking wallet. You're not going to do it. You're going to go buy these fucking games, you know? And that's why this whole movement is bullshit, you know, ultimately. I'm sorry,
I mean,
man.
I'm going to be there. Yeah. But it's only going to mean that I'm not going to be able to talk about GTA at the beginning.
Yeah.
So y'all have to excuse me for being ignorant because I'm going to vote with my fucking wallet.
Yeah, you're about that life, you know? These motherfuckers are not. Let's just be honest here, you know? No disc, no buy.
I mean, but look.
On fucking Marvel Tocon that has a fucking disc, you know? Anyway, don't get me started, Brett. Don't get me started on these motherfuckers, man. I was with them from the beginning until they got stupid, you know? Attacking indie devs for daring not to have physical release. Are you insane? Anyway,
look, the mob's going to sweep up every idiot that it brings with them. Like, I would rather people be like screaming no disc, no buy when it's not applicable than screaming I support Sony when it's not applicable. Like, I'd rather you err on the side of caution of being like, nah, I ain't fucking support that shit unless you give me a good reason to. Like, good. Let's have that the base standard default mode, right? Like, you don't get my money. You only get my scorn until you prove otherwise. That's fine. I can work with that shit. What I can't work with is people being just default fucking, I don't want to say bootlickers, but like default fucking cheerleaders, right? Like, I get that you have a hobby. Like I've lived here too. I've been through this. I also lived through the first time I found out Sony was arrogant. This is my second time, right? Like, I'm the fucking meme of the guy being strung up with the news, be like, first time, huh? That's me here. Like, it's gonna be okay. But at the same time, you cannot just push until somebody gives an inch and then just take that inch assuming that that's going to be forever. Remember, this is the company that put out the fucking commercial about, oh, how this is how easy it is to share a game on PlayStation. Like, what, less than 10 years later, here we fucking are, where they're trying to close a monopoly and pop the bubble on an artificially inflated fucking industry. No. Like, and that's why I'm like, I honestly don't know what to tell everybody, because I am of the mindset of this is already over, right? The fact that they pushed us to this point means that you have two options. You can not have principles, or you can move to a different company. And I think at this point it's going to be PC, but I also feel like Microsoft's going to come out and just give up. So I don't think that Microsoft's going to win by succeeding. I think they're going to win by just being like, tell you what, we're just part of Steam now. And that's probably where they're going to make up the numbers. But that's the only reason I even say like Xbox might be good. Like, otherwise, I'd just be saying fuck consoles altogether. This shit is a sham, because it kind of is. But the way that you get people to listen is by actually leaving. You have to be willing to follow through. If you're just like, no, I'm just going to stamp my foot and yell until you reverse your decision, and then you reverse the reversal quietly in an update 18 months from now, and nobody says anything. Like, that's how it always fucking happens. So even the people that are sitting here saying, oh, I'm not gonna give them my money and my loyalty until they do A, B, and C, like, that's kind of how a prostitute works. Like, you'll get what you want, but it's transactional. Like, there's no goodwill. And look, I understand that companies are companies and they're there to make money and they're not your friend, but it's a fucking spectrum, right? As somebody who lived through a lot of these companies started at one point filled with people who were passionate and happy to be doing what they wanted to do.
Chris worked for Nintendo. Those guys were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Chris worked for Nintendo, and he didn't do it because he fucking had to. Chris worked for Nintendo because he liked video games. There is passion in the industry. And yes, he also needed to get paid and pay his rent and his bills. And, like, I'm sure those two things, to a certain extent, are at odds. But what I'm saying is it's not quite so binary in the sense that, like, oh, just because somebody's making something for you or they're a company or getting paid means that they're a litigious fuck. Some people just try and pay the bills doing things they love, and some people try and, like, leave art or inspiration or things that matter to other people, like, other than money. So I guess what I'm saying is just leave PlayStation. It's at the very best you're getting, like, a we're staying together for the kids type relationship. Yeah. And we all fucking deserve better.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to say anything about this PlayStation thing? Again, they're telling you flat out what they're doing.
They're telling consumers what they're going to be doing. So it's on their boxes now. I mean, you know, the biggest thing, one of the other big things about it, is, like, if you think about it, if you are a physical owner of games, you theoretically need to buy all of your titles if you want them to PlayStation, because there's not going to be any disc drive on. So
yeah, that's right.
All your PlayStation 4 titles, all your PlayStation 5 titles, they stay on whatever. That's another one. It's like, again, we're going to be talking about something, a very interesting way that somebody else is handling or might be.
Well, yeah. Segway Kings, let's do it. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, Microsoft is turning around and saying, we want you to play not only your last-gen games, we want you to play all your Xbox games from the beginning, right?
Yep.
So I'm kind of reading this from Tom's Hardware. The original report's from The Verge, but Verge is fucking Paygate, you know, all that shit. Mm-hmm. But they took screenshots, you know? So they have several things in the pipeline. Now I'm going to go through them all. So if you guys will indulge me here. One of these programs is backwards compatibility on PC. We already talked about this before. There was actually, it's not a rumor. Four fucking original Xbox games coming to PC. But it's
actually on PC. They're on.
Yeah, yeah, PC. They're on. Yeah, but when we last talked about it, they were coming. They're there now. But it's not stopping there, people. Xbox 360 games coming to PC. So this is what the files say. Extend your original Xbox and Xbox 360 catalog to next-gen Xbox devices. You know what that is. This is right here. Regis Helix, Xbox PCs and handhelds, a Microsoft-built emulator, runs locally on PC. Titles appear as standard Xbox PC games. Same account, same cloud saves. Microsoft manages all engineering, the bespoke emulator, title-by-title certification and testing, storefront merchandising, and player support. You keep the rights, pricing, and brand control. Original Xbox titles ship first, then Xbox 360. So we're getting to Xbox first, then 360. The timing says, because right now this is all early access. People are testing this shit right now. Early access is July 2026, which is now, for the OG Xbox. And then the full launch is this year, October 2026, with the 360 in 2027, 2028. That's pretty big.
Yep.
That's pretty big. So there's more, by the way, but let's talk about this. I want to do it one at a time. Go ahead, Manny.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, yeah, like, it's like they're looking at their legacy and making a concerted effort into it. You can make, you know, the thing about it is, if you have those titles out there, you can make that money from those titles. And then, you know, there's something else coming up that's all they currently do. But yeah, like, why not do that? Like, Matt, like, I would think that a lot of this stuff that's going on currently with PlayStation and the way they're sort of closing the door on their all their titles from the PlayStation Portable, the Vita, and PS3 come real soon. What if all of those things that you had done all come PlayStation?
Yeah. So the next one here, disc to digital. Turn physical disc. It gets spicy. Turn physical disc owners into digital customers. Players insert an Xbox One or Series disc into any Xbox One or Series X console with an optical drive. A digital license is granted, bound to that disc and the player's account. The game then follows the player to any Xbox device, including devices with no disc drive. Very important there. If the disc changes hands, the license transfers to the new player on the next play, and the prior entitlement is revoked. No duplication or abuse. The timing for this is actually happening now during the public beta, and then the general rollout will be August, which is this month. And the publisher doesn't have to do anything.
Yep.
Interesting.
Okay. Hold up.
Talk about this one now. Go ahead, Brett.
Okay. The implication. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me that they have standardized a way to make your digital license key follow the disc? They just untangled that Gordian knot of how that fucking license key works and just standardized it. So now you can fucking sell a game to GameStop.
Yes.
And
yes,
the digital game key and license just follows it to the next person that owns it. Like,
yes,
I don't know. Like, it was easy this whole fucking time.
Yes.
Yep. That's exactly what's happening. I don't know if it was easy, but they finally figured it out.
They figured it out.
They made it easy
for us
to create some kind of hash from the disc, like based on some probably serial numbers or whatever. They figured out some way to standardize, like, each disc has this hash they could create stored in your account. So it's in your Xbox Live account and it just follows you. And then whenever you sell it off, it'll just make a new hash and then disable yours. So that's pretty clever that they figured that out.
Yeah. And the last two things here are more... Actually, do you got anybody want to jump in on that? The digital stuff?
Well, I'm whipping up Link's the Cat.
That's it. You put stick that thing in your freaking Xbox and then it'll fucking run. How crazy is that? Like, PlayStation, you couldn't do that shit? You couldn't figure out how to get a fucking PlayStation 3 to work?
I don't think they care. What we just talked about, man.
It is. Complete opposite. They don't care.
I'm still just shocked by, like, not only, like, are you now going to be able to just, like, have the same console for your next-gen consoles and for your retro gaming needs, but, and I can't believe I'm saying this because it actually sounds, I'm not sure if this is accidental or somebody actually sat down and figured this out, but if you're, say, playing Link's the Cat and you're like, hey, I have this collector's item that's a 20-year-old disc that's not in production anymore, you know what might be nice is if I didn't have to load it into my console every time I played it, therefore saving the wear and tear on the actual game so that I could leave the thing that actually contains the EXE in the pristine box on my shelf 90% of the time without worrying about the minute scratches from just handling it and dusting it. So therefore my collectibles stay in collectible condition longer that way. So it's not only convenient, but it's better for the preservation of gaming. Holy fuck. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, but think about it. It says that it's going to be playable on any Xbox console, bro. So think about it like this, right? Because the rumors are saying Helix is not going to have a disc drive, but if you do the conversion thing on your Xbox Series X, you'll still be able to play your game there on the Helix. That's fucking dope, you know. It says right here, the game then follows the player to any Xbox device. So
that's pretty great, and especially because if you think about, like, even if you have a Series S. If you do, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But it's going to play first-gen Xbox games really well. And that, you know, it's one of the few things that it can do, really. Well, I mean,
provided that you have an Xbox with a disc drive to do that, so you can play it on the S, you know?
If you have an X and then you play the old game on your S that doesn't have a disc drive, like, shit.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this thing going to stream to older versions of Xboxes too? I'm joking, but if it does, holy fuck.
Yeah, Chris, what were you saying?
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, just couldn't it theoretically like your game follow you to PC? Like if
yeah,
you
tried a that's PC yes. Game Pass, like yes. Because they're yeah, because it's all pretty much connected, right?
And yep. And your ROG ally.
Yes, yes. That too.
Think about it. It's like, okay, and then not to mention, you know, a lot of people don't talk about this, but the place, the Xbox's cross saves is not locked behind their fucking service. Doesn't matter.
It's not?
No, you can like you can literally play a game on PC and then play it on your Xbox and it will still work. It automatically does it.
Oh shit! I yeah.
Unlike fucking PlayStation.
Oh, PlayStation's locked behind PS Plus. Plus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Logic Win says, I wish I still had my OG Xbox copy of Dead to Rights. Somebody better find their copy of Tao Feng, see if that shit works.
You know? Well, also a part of this, and this I don't know if this article mentions it, they also mentioned that the publishers have to opt into it.
Yeah, that's the next part I was going to get into. So let's move on to that. So yeah, the last two things here are about publisher stuff. Why publishers win. Expand reach. PC and handheld players who never owned the original hardware are newly addressable. Reactivation. Dormant SKUs become live, purchasable products again. Franchise tie-ins. Ready-to-go classic re-releases for sequels, windows, anniversaries, and TV film moments. No porting required. Brand goodwill. Honor your legacy library through your storefront. Partner, not a workaround. A modern ecosystem. Play anywhere. Your classics behave like 2026 games, not 2006 games. Zero engineering. Microsoft owns the emulator, certification, storefront ops, and player support. Pretty interesting. And then the last thing here, I think this also for publishers. For both programs, Xbox manages all engineering, certification, and support effects. You, the publisher, keeps full control over rights, pricing, and brand. Your only lift is opting in and setting commercial terms. Both programs reactivate dormant SKUs, unlock new audiences on PC and handheld, and create ready-made re-release opportunities. No porting efforts required. So it's even telling publishers like, yo, this shit is easy for you too, man. We're doing the heavy lifting. You just got to say yes.
Yeah, just flip the make money switch.
That's it. This is so interesting to me, like the contrast between what PlayStation is doing and what Xbox is about to do, you know, like the polls just shifted, you know, very interesting.
Do I want a new Xbox?
Maybe you do.
I'm starting to feel like I'm right. I did not anticipate that. We'll see if Steam comes. That's going to be the big kicker for me. But if so, like if Steam comes to this thing, like you're telling me that it becomes a legacy machine that unlocks retro gaming possibilities while respecting my choices as a consumer and giving me access to all of my Steam library. Like that's the one machine to rule them all. It's pulling a one ring. It's if it does that, then shit, I don't want to take out a mortgage to get a PC. So maybe I'll simply cut off a leg and get an Xbox.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, interesting stuff. Again, this stuff is already in the works, like through the beta programs. I'm not even going to say it's rumor. I think it's all true. There's just too much evidence there. You know, and people are playing this shit now. You know, so it's more like wait till it comes as early as this month, people. You know?
Dude, can you imagine how easy it is to let your friend borrow a game? I mean, you have to still physically see them. But you can, like, pop in an Xbox game, and it's just theirs until you play it again?
Yeah.
You don't have to lend the disc.
And if you want to sell the game, you know, because we didn't know about, like, what would happen, like, if you, like, you know, like, would the original disc be made, like, irrelevant or whatever? And then you go sell that shit to GameStop and nobody can play. But no, the code goes with the thing. Very smart of them to do that.
Yeah, so they're keeping track of all the titles.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, good on you, Xbox.
How interesting is that? Fucking PlayStation couldn't think of about this like what over 20 years ago?
Yeah,
with the PlayStation Go, where they couldn't figure out how to get those games that you had on there to, you know, to get them registered so that you could play them on the fully digital fucking console.
Yeah,
Like, you couldn't figure that out, PlayStation?
Because they didn't. Is that because they probably didn't bother? They don't care.
They didn't bother. No, actually, they partially bothered. They toe dipped on it because in Japan you could do that.
Ah, yeah, the toe dip. Well, it's crazy.
I have a question. So, apologize for the dumb question because I had to step away for the beginning of this topic. But from how I understood you guys talking about it in the latter half, so you can have a disc, a 360 game, put it on your Xbox Series X and play it and store it there.
Yes. Right?
It can get stored in your Xbox.
Yeah.
And then
you'll be able to play it on any Xbox device.
Any Xbox device that's tied to your account.
Yes.
Yep. Well, you can play it to any Xbox account that's tied to your device, or if you let somebody borrow it, the license goes to them goes to them and goes away from you.
Yeah. And to clarify, you don't have to store the disc in the Xbox. When you put it in, it unlocks a license and downloads a digital version of that game.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to keep the disc in the console. Yeah. And now you can download that digital key onto any Xbox console you own, even if it's one that doesn't have a disc drive.
There was something similar. I think they have something very similar with that with some of the 360 games, where if it's available, you can get one of those games if it has it available, or it gives you like a version of it. That's why at the time when they implemented this, a bunch of people started going out and buying used.
I remember that. Yeah. Any other questions, Carlos?
No, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, this is what happens when companies are desperate. They become pro consumer in a way.
I mean, it happened with PlayStation. Remember with the PS3? Yeah, you know?
Yeah, they went pro consumer. It was all about the games and all, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And then once they started making the money, that's when they fired all those people.
Yep.
And
they got arrogant again.
You got arrogant.
Oh my God. I can unironically say this, and this is going to piss a bunch of people off, which makes it honestly a little bit better. So, you ready?
Yeah.
The best thing that you can do for PlayStation is buy an Xbox.
That's funny. What's up, Carlos? What were you going to say?
Oh, no, that was it.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, good on you, Xbox. We shall see what happens. I was going to say the quote from Phantom Menace, but I forgot it. What is it? What does Palpatine say to Anakin at the end? We will watch your career with great interest, some shit like that. So, yeah, we'll watch your moves, Xbox, with great interest. All right.
Strike me down and I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
The end of Phantom Menace, when he comes back from shooting down that that destroyer, right?
When
he comes back.
Yeah. Oh, that's a I'll roll. What is it like? That's a good trick. Like, what the fuck are we doing right now? Anyway, in other news, EA is now independent.
Theoretically, they are.
They are. They're not. They're no longer, you know, beholden to stockholders or anything. But the problem is, who owns them?
Private.
Yeah, they're private. They're private. Yeah, they're a private company. They were bought for $55 billion by the Saudis.
Yep.
Next to the dragon.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing that nobody's controlling them now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they need to put Salvador Ganachi on the next FIFA game.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
So, yeah. Pretty much you're going to have all those Saudi teams and shit.
They're gonna get the priority on it. I heard rumors that BioWare might get sold.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. You know, of this story, that they're considering selling BioWare, EA. That's that part of the rumor. Yeah, I don't know if anybody does, because BioWare is tarnished. They're damaged goods now. You know,
they're definitely damaged goods now. But it's like, yeah, what? Like maybe that's the thing. Maybe they just wanted to take it fully sports, just continue to do it that way.
Yeah, I don't know where I read this word. Basically, after this, EA owes a shit ton. Like they have a lot of debt, a lot of fucking debt. Still, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you make money is by selling shit, studios in this case. So that's what some people are reporting, that they're just gonna start selling a bunch of shit, like, you know, BioWare. But and BioWare's damaged shit. The people who made BioWare what it is are no longer there. It's just a shell of what it used to be. You know, because I know.
But would they? But would they? But would they sell? Would they sell BioWare Lock, Stock, and Barrel? Would they sell BioWare with the IP?
I don't know.
With, you know, with Mass Effect and Dragon Age and all that other stuff, or would they just be like, "All right, we're just going to sell this shitty company, and then you know, keep whatever, we'll keep the things that we think are worthwhile in."
Yeah, I don't know. What are you gonna say, Brett?
So maybe I just have a sort of confirmation bias here, but really looking back on it, I'm thinking like, you know, I see a lot of studios being sold like their assets, and other than Minecraft, almost none of them seem to make more money or be more successful after they've been sold. Almost like they've got an expiration on them, and the talent doesn't transfer, or you know. For whatever reason, like, I can't really think of a lot of studios that have been sold and then really just fucking nailed it. You know what I mean? Like, and it kind of makes me wonder, like, if I sat down and did the math, is the idea of wholesale buying a studio really feasible for the most part, or is it just an outlier risk?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah.
I'm trying to think of like fucking, what was the, Manny, what's the rhythm game I always forget the name of?
Hi-Fi Rush.
Thank you. Hi-Fi Rush is one of the few that I'm like, oh, they did really good after they were acquired. Oh, no, wait. They were all laid off. So, like, either financially or as a studio, like, it never seems to work out.
Well, for Tango Gameworks, it was a weird one. So, initially, they closed that studio. They were done, right? And then, I forget what company, NetEase or Tencent, I can't remember, purchased them. But they purchased they purchased the studio and all that other stuff from Microsoft and, you know, Hi-Fi Rush from them. And then they rebuilt the
studio. That's weird.
Yeah. So they literally just, they didn't save it. They literally just let it go and then essentially, you know, bought all the, you know, bought the IP, bought the studio itself, and then just re-implemented it. So it may, you know, obviously they got the director of Hi-Fi Rush to come over, you know, probably they got him first, but then, you know, they probably had to rebuild the, so it wasn't really it wasn't really a save because they all got fired.
Yeah. I kind of want to open up to the chatters. I'm curious, does anybody like have a good solid example of a successful acquisition? Like a long-term successful acquisition? Because I'm sitting here racking my brain. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, neither can I. It always seems to go bad, you know?
I mean, Bungie, the first time they got acquired.
Yeah.
When they got bought by Microsoft, they were pretty damn successful while they were still at Microsoft.
That's true.
They bought themselves back.
Yeah.
And then essentially went independent. So that's why. BioWare themselves, too, also a company that was acquired. You know, they essentially were bought by EA themselves. They did go on to make, good games after that, except for, you know, Andromeda and all the other ones.
Except for recently.
So one company transferring a studio to another, that's a new one. I Tango doesn't really work because they essentially closed that studio down, and then essentially that ISA, whoever bought them, all of that stuff, but the IP and all that stuff, and essentially reestablished. But yeah, I don't know another one that did that.
Yeah, I don't see any replies, so they probably can't either. It's a tough one.
And there's nothing. It's a hard one because it's like maybe older studios, you know, like back in the what are those guys, Sierra and stuff like that, like, you know, like maybe some of those companies that they bought.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
honestly, ever since EA did the first round of just Slaughterbox, and like it just, that seemed to be the only time when like purchasing a development studio actually did something. That's been like what, 15? Jesus, I don't even know. It's been a long time. And we still keep trying to, like, even just all of Microsoft's acquisitions, I'm sitting there looking at them like, I don't think any of this was a good idea, you guys. And yeah. I think they've figured that out, but yeah, I'm going to have to do some investigating, because it can't possibly be that the last decade and a half of this industry has been fueled by acquisitions that never pan out. But then I look at live service games, I'm like, actually, it isn't entirely possible for something that stupid to happen for 15 years straight.
Yeah. Otaku Man says Mojang and maybe Insomniac.
I was thinking other than Minecraft.
The PlayStation studios like Insomniac and Naughty Dog.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Naughty Dog was, you know, that was a successful one for a while.
Or Media Molecule.
Yeah.
But again, they weren't bought from another company.
No, they weren't.
On their own.
Yeah, they were not bought from, that is correct. Yeah.
They were on their own. They were bought by, on their own when they were bought by, you know, PlayStation. Same thing with Microsoft and Bungie and stuff like that. A lot of those studios weren't a part of other, what comes to mind, and even Mojang. Like what a transferring a studio, a big studio from one studio to another.
Yeah, I can't think of it. Yeah, you're right. That's the criteria. Because even Insomniac was an independent. They weren't, or were they EA? Yeah. Like, didn't EA own them or something like that?
No, it was, they weren't. They were all like Insomniac and Naughty Dog were published by Universal Interactive, but they weren't owned by.
Yeah, the reason I bring that up is because when I went to an EA event and they had that Fuse game, I played the game with Ted Price, you know, but I don't remember what the deal was with them. But I think they were go ahead.
Yeah, they were independent.
They were independent. Yeah. The question we're asking is, when have we seen a studio buy a big game from another big studio?
Well, I'll even say like Mojang, like, yeah, it was a financial success. Did Minecraft get better after that? No. Minecraft got watered down, spun off, and most of, like, from my understanding, because I stopped playing it around that time, but like it got the updates got worse and people became less happy and they did a bunch of spinoffs and shit like that. Like, it's not a bigger or better thing. It didn't succeed because of an acquisition. So like it almost seems to me like something like the art of video games isn't a transferable commodity.
Yeah.
Weird, I mean, I know.
If you don't have the same people that made those things that are like, I feel like the way Mojang works is like, they're like, all right, don't fuck with it too much because it'll just push a bunch of people away. We're still continuing to make money with it, so we'll just keep on putting things into it, but not ultimately, you know, changing the main experience of it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why they were like, okay, we're going to do spin-off games that have stories and shit like that. We're not going to fuck with the main game. We're going to just add some random crafting and shit.
So those things can fail and fall apart because it's like, those weren't the meat and potatoes of, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on here. And for the last two stories here, I'm going to call this the movie down. because we're going to talk about some movies here or TV shows. We're going to start like that.
Bad habits.
Yeah. But it's video game TV shows, so it's still tied the same. So we talked about how the God of War show is getting a new Kratos. And the rumor now, actually, it's not a rumor. I think. Yeah, this is actually happening, but hasn't happened yet, but could be in the works.
It's reported.
It's reported that Dave Bautista is going to be playing Kratos in the Amazon show, which is interesting.
That's the wrong of war he's in. He's supposed to be in Gears of War.
Gears of War. Yeah. Because my thing is like, if this was Dave Bautista 10 years ago, sure. But he purposely slimmed down because of his health, I believe. So is he going to beef back up? Like,
well, I mean, like, if you look at him now, like, pretty damn big. He's taller than he was. But, yeah. Like, somebody showed a picture of the way he looks now, and I'm like, he's still in pretty damn good shape. So, like, I think he could work.
Yeah.
Stick a beard on him. See how it looks.
Level bullshit up and, like, I don't know. Like, it's, like, you need some, like, the Rock size somebody. Like, the old The Rock, not the new skinny.
yeah, he's skinny, too. The Rock. Yeah.
He's skinny. He's skinny down, too.
There's just something about, like, I realize that especially old Kratos is, like, over the top, and dad Kratos is actually kind of a little bit thick, but, like, there's something about if you put somebody who's normal proportions in the Kratos, it's just going to look like bad cosplay, or, like, has anybody seen...
like the last Vox guy Machina? That was playing him. That's what it looked like.
Has anybody seen Vox Machina? There's an arc in there where their barbarian gets his strength taken away and he ends up all skinny, and that's all I can fucking think of.
The thing about it is like Batista, yes, is thinner than he but he's still bigger than a normal person.
Yeah, so he was more Hercules back in the day.
He's like uber like buff. So like now it's like, okay, he like, I don't know. Like I think it's still, I could still work.
Yeah, but Kratos isn't normal buff.
The first version of him, I feel like he was a little over normal buff. I feel like old Dados, he got way thicker.
Yeah, Dados is thick.
Yeah. Dados. The Dad of War. Yeah, he got thicker.
What happened to the original guy playing Kratos?
He got hurt.
He got injured during some stunts something.
Yeah, and they didn't want to delay the, because he needed like 6 months to heal. They didn't want to delay the project, so they just recast him. My personal opinion, they're like, oh shit, we finally got an excuse to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, you know? he did look like cosplay.
Yeah, that was terrible.
He looks good, but he didn't look right. As he looked like he was wearing. Like,
yeah, that looked bad. And they're also
they got a bigger name.
Yeah, exactly. So you get a bigger
name on it.
Yeah, you get somebody people actually heard of. You know,
I actually think it'd be easier to cast Dados. Like old Kratos is like 20% trapezoid.
Yeah, he was very, because he had like really wide shoulders, you know.
He was built like a Jim Liefeld comic book.
Who the fuck is that?
You know what I fucking mean.
Yeah, you mean Rob Liefeld, sir. Do not besmirch the name of Jim Lee here, you know?
No, Jim Liefeld, the Timu version of Rob Liefeld.
Liefeld is the Timu version of Liefeld. That guy sucks.
I think the thing about Kratos also, he also mind kind of weird.
Boy.
Just because of his silhouette had to be a certain one.
Yeah,
like he's got overly long arms, like
yeah, he does. Weird,
giant hands, so that he could, his silhouette reads.
Dude, we all know in like the building of Kratos, the word extreme was used at least a few times.
Yes.
So they're like, listen, this
10% more extreme,
even bigger, yeah. More V-shaped.
Yeah, more V-shaped, very V-shaped. Yeah, you're right, because like as big as Dad of Wars, he's a little, at least more proportional than the old Kratos, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that. And I don't know if we, I think we did talk about it. It's like they're recasting the boy.
Recasting boy.
But I think it's because, you know, because I think they made
Elliot Page. Time.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Perpetual 13-year-old boy.
I think the thing about it is also it's like, you know, the longer they have to wait on this thing, more the kid is going to grow up.
Yeah. So I think that's why they're doing it, like hedging their bets, like just get an old guy now.
Yeah, let's clear all this stuff out of the way already and just recast everybody and we'll just try this again. You better not fuck up a Batista.
Yeah.
I mean, if you follow the video game, I mean, there's a time jump between games and Atreus is older, significantly older.
This will be the fun one. How much of the original footage are they going to be? Is it going to be like the other guy? Because obviously, there's, you know, because even in Back to the Future, there's shots with the original guy who played Marty, right?
Yeah,
like back shots, some things that you wouldn't even notice. He's in the film.
Yeah.
So does that mean like some of the back shots of him like running around may not actually be Batista?
Possible. You know. So yeah, there's that. Again, I'm not going to watch it, so it's stupid. But yeah, Dave Bautista, that would be a bigger draw for sure, you know? And then the last.
Is that Drax?
Drax. Yeah, Drax the Destroyer. Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm looking at the newer pictures of him, and he is a different shape than he used to be when he was Drax.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a problem, because I was like, wait, he's Drax. He could totally do the Dad of War's bot.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, old. Yeah. Old Batista. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's getting old man body. He's still ripped, but he's like old man ripped now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because he purposely slimmed down because they, you know, I think his doctor said being that bulky was bad for his health because he's older, you know?
Also the other thing about it is that he gained like a lot of fat for this other role.
Yeah.
And if you notice like later, of the Guardians of the Galaxy, he used to have this big fat round head.
Yeah.
And he said he couldn't get rid of that, you know, that fat that he got for this other movie where he was like in a cult or something.
That's interesting.
That's what a beard's for.
Yeah. Well, you know, he gives him, you know,
you long enough beard, you just make his head look longer.
Yeah, I mean, I could work with Dad of War. Couldn't work with Drax though. Drax doesn't have a beard.
I think he can work as Dad of War because it gives him, because I know he's always saying that he wants a meaty role. like something where he's not just the, he's just not a shirtless guy. He's going to be another.
He's going to be a shirtless guy. He's almost, mostly just going to be grunting, going, boy. So I don't know how much how much more meat you're going to get from that.
He gets to eye act.
Yes. Yeah, Kratos doesn't talk a lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look at a Dad of War. Dados is actually a little, I mean, he's thick in the torso. Like, his arms aren't as bad. Like, remember them. I think I remember just some old Kratos in there. Like, yeah, like, actually, looking at pictures, I was like, oh, Dados is a little more worn out than I remember.
He's very barrel-chested.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the barrel chest gives it. But, like, you look at his arms, you're like, oh, like, his arms are kind of shrunk down. His chest kind of has that. They did a good job of giving him some old man muscles, which is, I have mixed feelings about this, really looking at it.
Dados, you're not as strong as you'd be. What are you talking about?
Boy.
Yeah, well, it's like, I'm just like looking at like, I don't know, his pecs. I'm like, somebody really took the time to like study how old guy pecs look, and they nailed it, and that's weird.
Yeah. All right. And then the last story, another movie down thing. So interesting. You know, we all know about the passing of Mr. Sam Neill. And his last role will be in the Zelda movie, people.
I'm wondering if he's playing the king of Hyrule.
I have no idea who he's playing.
Please tell me this is already filmed.
What happened?
This was already filmed, right?
Yes, it's already filmed. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're thinking. Yeah. Because they could have added him with AI or some shit.
No, they said that his role, all of his part has been filmed, so he's in it. Then again, but I'm guessing right now it's just all post production.
Yeah, but yeah, I have no idea, you know, who he's playing or anything like that.
I think it's the King of Hyrule.
Maybe. Let me look this shit up. But man, you could speak a little bit on it because you brought the story to my attention.
They haven't actually said who he's playing, but yeah. I might, like, who else could Sam Neill play? Besides the King of Hyrule.
Yeah.
Maybe Old Link.
Some goofy monster or something, you know?
I mean, I don't know. Like, they said film. They didn't say, you know, motion capture or voice.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he did film it, yeah.
Yeah, and they already have somebody for Ganon, right? As I remember.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah. Wow, so Deadline sucks, man.
Ganon.
Have you guys ever been to Deadline's website? It's like fucking ads everywhere. Yeah, he's not Zelda, yes, for sure.
He's obviously playing Zelda, or he's playing Impa, the witch.
or maybe he's the fairy. No,
the Zongos.
This is a new modern reimagining of the Ocarina, but taken to senility. So he's playing Old Link.
The unfortunate thing is that, at least from the shots they show, it looks like it's Breath of the
Wild. That's what it looks like to me, yeah.
It looks like Breath of the
Wild. I would have like the least story to it.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, I guess it had story, but like it's so video gamey. It was just fucking.
Yeah, I love Breath of the Wild. Calamity Ganon.
Yeah, kingdom was corrupted. Go fight four bosses because ours, and then the bad guy. Also, there are goblins. Like, it's fine, but
so I have a question for you guys.
Oh,
so they said that this movie is based off of various Zelda games. Would you guys have preferred it? Obviously, you guys are not interested in this movie.
I don't give a fuck.
If you were, would you have preferred for it to be based off of an actual game? Like, this movie's this game, this movie's this game?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, like, which one would you do? Because I feel like Ocarina of Time would be incredibly expensive, and this is, like, the first film.
Oh, any of them. And that's the thing. You can't pick and choose. You have to fucking pick one. But A Link to the Past with the fucking Mirror World would have been fucking great. You could have done Ocarina of Time, which is the classic one, but you could have done Majora's Mask or even fucking Wind Waker.
But yeah, but definitely, if you had those other films, you would not have enough child. I don't think they want to make the main character some kid.
Yeah, I think they want to do an action movie, which kind of makes it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's.
There's also an Elden Ring movie, by the way, too.
Weirdly enough.
I mean, so we're doing movie down.
How I feel about that.
Yeah, Brett. Mm-hmm. So apparently they already finished filming. You know, we're in August 2026. They finished filming, and the movie's coming out 2028. So I'm like, damn, how much special effects are you going to put into this fucking movie?
I mean, yeah, like, are they going all in? Are they going to have like little creatures like.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be fair. If Miyazaki's involved, they have to have time to add all the. the post-digital feat.
Yeah.
I don't know who's involved with the... I feel like the Elden Ring movie was just like, he signed off on it and then walked away, and it's gonna be awful.
I don't know who's making it either. Is it A24 again?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, hopefully it's like supplementary and not trying to be like telling the whole story of Elden Ring, but I'll be really interested to hear what kind of comes of it.
Some, at least from some what things that people have, at least from the film, the set shots, it looks like they're doing prequel story, like stuff before the tarnishing.
Honestly, yeah. If they did the whole the war of the fucking runes, the great runes, then I'd be 100%.
That's at least what they're saying that it is. It's not like it's not taking place when in the after.
Well, that would also be really cool because even if you're just very cursory now, like it's built off the back of these almost like Arthurian legends, and in the context of the game, they're very common knowledge. Like we all know who Radahn is. So I think that would honestly not take away anything from the game, and it would honestly add to the game because you'd know about Radahn, and then you'd see a world torn and see him basically a husk of his former self. It would honestly add to the impact, which I that sounds too good. So I'm not going to think that's what's going to go on.
Don't give it too much thought because it could easily just turn into shit.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be shit because like movie adaptations. But yep. The fact that it's a prequel, like that's actually a good sign.
Yeah, and the fact that it's taking so long for post-production, that sounds good.
How involved is Miyazaki and how involved is... R.R. Martin.
We don't know George R.R. Martin, but the thing about it is that anytime George R.R. Martin says anything that he's working on, everybody's like, got to get to writing.
Yeah, well, like even if he's not working on it, he's going to say he's working on it because an excuse for him not to be finishing Winds of Winter.
Yes.
I'd love to finish it, but they totally need my help on this Elden Ring movie. And they're like, get the fuck out of here, George.
Write the book before you die.
He's like, they're calling me. They're locking the door on me, but that just means they really need me in there. Can't do Winds of Winter. Sorry, guys.
One of the actors in the movie, in this Elden Ring movie, is going to be the new Cyclops, apparently.
Oh, really? Interesting.
That dude's got more.
X-Men or Odyssey?
Oh, X-Men.
That's funny.
He's the new Cyclops.
Scott Summers.
Odyssey 2.
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, A24 is got a good reputation, so there's some faith that this movie might be half decent. Oh damn.
Oh, they're doing Death Stranding?
They're doing Death Stranding as well.
Interesting.
Are they gonna get a homeboy
Norman Reedus?
I don't know if Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen in it.
Get Guillermo in there too.
Hey, what am I doing in here?
Get the BB.
Yeah, no, they gotta get all the actors, get them back.
It's like Kojima's like, hey, listen, motherfuckers, I casted this bitch for you. Just call him up.
Just call him up.
The one that would work the best is Homegirl. What's her name?
Lita Seydoux.
Yeah, Lita Seydoux. She still looks the part. Everyone else, also, I mean, Mads Mikkelsen, kind of old.
And then also, what's her face? Is Jude Law's daughter? Not Jude Law's. Uma Thurman's daughter. She's in that too. Yeah. She plays
Maya Hawk.
Mama, yeah.
Oh, Manny, this one's a question for. It's not explicitly for you, but I'm saying it's a question for you.
It's a question for me.
What's going on with the Metal Gear movie?
Don't know what's going on with the Metal Gear movie. It got handed over to somebody, and then that's it. They have another company that's going along with another production team and another director that's handling it. It's going to be Sony Pictures, so I don't have a lot of trust for them. I know Zelda's also Sony Pictures as well, but just keep that one in mind.
Yeah,
those awful Silent Hill film they've made. Anyway, so yeah, so it doesn't look like what's his face?
Hold on. Zelda is Sony Pictures?
Zelda, yeah. Sony Pictures.
Yeah, yeah, right. Isn't that interesting? We talked about that when this shit got out. It's like, oh, Nintendo and Sony are cooperating.
Yeah. It's funny, like, whenever anything, like, Japanese game-related, it always seems like Sony Pictures snatches them up right away.
Yeah.
Like, they got Metal Gear, they got Silent Hill. There's a bunch of other, like, Japanese games that they've also managed to kind of, like, get the rights to. So it's weird. I think that Castlevania originally started as a Sony Pictures thing too.
Oh, really?
Before it got turned into the Netflix.
Interesting. But yeah, there you go. There's your movie news.
That is the movie down.
Yeah, but you know, still video games. You know. So yeah, let's start wrapping it up, man. Let's plug some stuff. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend? Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. There he is.
1-2. Yes. Oh yeah. So, Mr. Adam Vale, Carlos Romero, and I will be reviewing the next episode of The Walking Dead: Dead City on the I Am Negan podcast. So stay tuned for that over the weekend. And I've actually, on the gaming side, I have been playing Marvel Tokon.
Very nice.
And so I will have some things to say about that.
Hey, look at that physical.
There you go. Uh-oh.
No physical. Disc, no buy, you know?
Also, if you don't have an internet connection, it still works. It doesn't download the whole game from online. So.
That's good.
Awesome.
I just got to say, I saw Deadpool's intro, character intro to that game. Fucking beautiful.
Nice.
Oh, you mean the Dragon Ball Z thing?
Yeah, he uses a fight, but he lights a firework for the background explosion. That's fucking great.
There is a lot of... He has insane amount of reference to fighting, a whole bunch of different fighting games, all of his moves.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rich.
I love when people use Deadpool like he should be used.
Yes. Break the fourth wall. But yeah, continue, Rich.
Oh no, yeah. So stay tuned. I've been playing that as well as a few other things I can't quite talk about yet.
Yo, Beast of you bought that too, Beast of Reincarnation. Look at this. The physical copy guide.
The physical copy. I did it like the old days. I went to GameStop with the
nice.
You already know it's the manga.
Wow, that was a blast in the past.
Oh man, that's good. All right, anything else, Rich?
Oh, no, stay tuned.
There you go. All right, Manny, what else do you have besides physical video games?
Dinner date that's actually coming out this October the 7th. I'm going to keep on advertising until this thing finally drops. We're rolling along on this one. This is right here, the very rare now, I guess, Ashcan, which came from Comic-Con. So, yeah. That's going to be October the 7th. And then I also have Ninja Turtles. Cover with Kari Randolph coming out in September. So Joanne Starr, Kari Randolph, myself on Dinner Date, and then Kari Randolph and myself on the other thing on the Turtles. And also I have a little couple of other things that I have yet to talk about. We shall see.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And I'll give you my thoughts on the Marvel Tokons next week. I'll probably start I'm not gonna be able to play it tomorrow because I got to go to a wedding, people. So that'll be interesting. Not my own wedding. I'll definitely be playing over the weekend. Maybe you want to ask us some thoughts about Tokon for the Sunday show because some of us would have played it, you know.
Yeah. You know, if you have some Beast of Reincarnation questions or some Tokon questions, might as well throw them inside of the question things on our Discord.
Manny, are you going to Anime NY by any chance?
Unfortunately, I will not be at Anime NYC this year. I was not accepted for a table because
those motherfuckers.
They maybe have a bunch of YouTubers or people that they could fill the friggin' room with. I will say this about Anime NYC: after the infamous one where somebody got COVID-19 and died.
Oh shit.
That event was so overly crowded, and that is when the head of the artist alley decided to fucking quit.
Damn. So
that is probably the reason why I haven't gotten into Anime NYC X amount of years since then.
Since COVID, fuck.
Since COVID, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, there you go, Dio. There's your answer. I've never been to Anime NY, so I'm not going to change it now.
You might have went to one.
There was that one where it was a double billing. Yes, it was happening during the same time as New York Comic Con.
No, that is New York Anime Fest because New York Comic Con bought New York Anime Fest.
Okay, so I've never been to one then.
So you never been to NY Anime. No. NY Anime is like, you know, despite me not being at the show, it's actually a very good show. They get some really good guests. I'm not saying it's on the level of like a Otakon or Otakon. But it's pretty good.
Cool. All right, man. So we'll start wrapping up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on the YouTubes. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
By the way, who's playing Street Fighter? Or is it, I hear some selected
noises. Yeah, I
hear
them Street Fighter noises.
Yeah, right?
Three, one.
That was me.
Hey, there you go, Brett. Going back to his roots. You know, that shit is stuck in my head, man. I'm like, wait, I hear some Street Fighters, you know? Good stuff. All right, guys.
Well, I play video games.
Yeah, imagine that, playing video games on a video game podcast. Crazy.
Big fucking deal.
I've been going hard.
That's it, man. And shout out to Dio. He's playing Marvel Token right now. So good for him.
Oh, shit.
All right, guys. We will return on Sunday. Later.
Later.
Peace.